powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost. Here we go
now. Wilson back up there. Nice at bat right here against Lopez. Already a seven-pitch at bat to count 3-2. The stretch and the payoff pitch, and it's up and in for ball four. And what a bad bat by the kid, Marcus Wilson. His major league debut, his first at bat, draws a walk, and I'm telling you, that kid earned it.
All right, joining us now, that kid himself, Mariners outfielder Marcus Wilson. Marcus, how are you feeling today?
Hey, Stace, how you doing? No, I feel great. How you guys doing?
We're well. We're really excited to talk with you. Your story, obviously, a really cool one. I'm sure you've gotten 1,000,005 texts and calls from friends and family members like, hey, we saw you. You look great out there. Tell us about, let's talk baseball for a sec. Tell us what you saw on that walk you drew.
Yeah, I got to see him a little bit out over because he has a hard sinker. And he throws hard, so yeah. I got to see him out over. And he just kind of just kept pounding me in with front door sliders. And I just tried to stick with my plan, and he just didn't give it to me, so I took my walk.
Marcus, before I ask you a question, the first thing I want to say is, let's go, man, let's go.
Yeah.
Man, I get hyped, man. I love when dudes make their debut. I saw you take that deep breath before you stepped into the box. I mean, what was that moment like? Just put it in words for me. I'm just so excited for you.
It's really, honestly, man, it's really hard to put into words. It's emotional for sure, like walking up to it. Like I was getting emotional, like on deck and about to walk up. And but everybody just told me it was like the best advice I got what the big leagues feels like is it's the same game, but it's just brighter.
Yeah.
So, and if you can like calm your nerves a little bit, it's the same exact game that you've been playing for so long. So I try to remember that and just breathe through the whole at bat and try to calm my nerves. And, I was able to do so. So it was fun, man. It's indescribable.
Now, unlike you and my co-host, Michael Bumpus, I am not a former athlete. So I can't imagine the feeling. But if it's anything like being nervous in a big moment, which obviously is something many people have experienced, you aren't always aware of what's happening around you, right? You kind of like black out for a second. Like you're like, wait, I missed that. Did you hear fans chanting Marcus?
I did at one point, and then everything kind of just went quiet. I guess he's going in his windup, like everything kind of gets quiet. So, but no, that was definitely a cool moment. Definitely one I'll never forget. But I heard him though. I love these fans here. They definitely made that debut at bat special. So I hats off to them.
Hey, Marcus, what's the process like of being called up? I was on the practice squad for the Seahawks, and they kind of tapped me on the shoulder at practice, said, hey, we got to come to the locker room or the office. We want to talk to you. I think I'm being cut, and they're like, hey, actually, we're going to promote you. What's mm-hmm. the whole process like for you, or what was it like for you?
For me, me and my friend were just talking on this rooftop place that the Mariners gave us for our housing or whatever, and we were just talking. It's a really nice place. They did a great job with that. But, yeah, we were just talking, and, my manager called me at, like, 10:30. And, he's not just going to call me for no reason at 10:30 unless somebody got scratched. But I was playing the next day, so I knew that. So it couldn't have been that. So he called me. My heart kind of sank. And he just asked me, he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, hey, don't mess with me right here. I said, don't mess with me. What's going on? And he told me I was going to the big leagues. And then I just kind of broke down and cried and kind of blacked out from there. I think he said a couple other things, but I
don't
really
remember.
Didn't hear much. I didn't remember much, but no, definitely very, very special. It was dope.
Now, do you have a good relationship with any of the guys that are on the MLB squad right now? Because, I got to say, Taylor Trammell might have been cheering for you harder than almost anyone out there.
Yeah, I know T-Baby for a long time, almost high school.
Wow.
So, yeah, I've been knowing Taylor from high school. I played against Evan in 2018 when he was a Modesto Nut. We used to play each other all the time because we were in the same division. So we played him like every week, every other week. So I know him. Couple other guys. Who else? Who else am I thinking? I played with Knapp in Tacoma.
Okay.
When Jay Up was down there in Tacoma getting ready, I was playing with him. So I was kind of, I was already kind of comfortable. And then they made it very comfortable in spring training too. So I've kind of known all the guys. I've known JP since high school.
Was it quite like a first day of school feeling?
Yeah.
There's some familiarity.
Definitely all that made it comfortable. I'm glad I knew most of the guys.
That's good.
Coming in for sure.
A couple things, Marcus. You were born in L.A. What part of L.A. were you born in? I'm from Culver City, West L.A., so, you know, I got to try to make a connection there. And then, two, how did you start playing baseball? Because, you know, it, for the culture, they push us towards basketball, football, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's cool that you got into it.
I honestly wasn't good at either. I wasn't good at basketball or football. So I realized there's a lot of other freak athletes out there in L.A., man. L.A.'s a talented place. So, no, I kind of hit my stride with baseball, and I kind of really took that serious from, like, a young age. So I kind of just stuck with that. I should have played all three going up, but I kind of – it was always baseball from, like, 10 and on. So it was fun. It was a good time. Known a lot of guys, met a lot of people.
Well, you may not have excelled at the other two, but even being with AAA Tacoma in the minors, you've gotten further than like 99% of guys who tried their hand at baseball. So I think it worked out for it too.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So talk to us a bit just about your experience in the minors. You were drafted out of high school in 2014. It's been quite the journey for you. Have you been pretty steadfast the entire time? Was there ever a time when you thought, all right, I got to explore something else? Or has this been something where you're like, this is my dream, I'm not going anywhere?
Yeah. I've kind of went through all the emotions.
Yeah.
Getting drafted. Well, high school, I was playing for fun still. I mean, I was always playing for fun up until I technically knew I was good at baseball. And that wasn't until like the summer of 13 where I made the All-American team. And I kind of just went there because one of my buddies told me to go and I got invited and I was like, okay, I'll go. I went to the thing in Minnesota. I did all my stuff, like ran, hit, whatever, had a couple of bats and then went home thinking nothing of it. The rankings came out for the high school people and I went from like, I didn't even look at like the first 50. I just went from like 50 to 100.
Yeah.
Let me check who was the first. And then sure enough, I think it was like 13 or 15 or something. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, this is crazy. So from then on, I kind of took it serious. And then I got drafted in the second round. Who drafted me? The D-backs. So that was cool. Very slow development. I think I've hit every level, every single level. So from AZL to rookie ball to short season, the low A, high A, double A, triple A, and then now the big league. So it's definitely a full circle moment for sure. It's dope.
Yeah.
It's really dope.
It's been a grind, man, and I love to hear about it. And during your grind, who's been like in your corner, your support system? Mom, dad, grandma, brother, sister, who's been the person you can rely on through this whole situation?
Definitely my wife, man. My wife is my rock.
Nice.
Been together since high school, man. So definitely she's seen me grow from when I was, you know, just a little kid in high school to now is very special. Obviously, mom held it down, single mom with just one. And we kind of just, it was always just us two, like growing up and, to share that moment with her after the game was super, super special. I can't put that into words either.
Yeah, I'm not going to grill you too much on that one, because if I were grilled on that one, I think I might start crying.
Yeah, it was tough. We held it together somehow.
Now, Marcus, you don't know this, obviously. I wouldn't expect you to, but we make fun of each other a ton on this show, and you being a guest, we aren't going to take it easy. We're also going to make fun of you.
Please.
You did not have the easiest time with that outfield celebration. Had to get some assistance there for a minute. Are you going to be practicing post-game, pre-game, leading up to that for another outfield celebration after a win tonight?
I'm ready. I was practicing at home. We always go left first. We go left first on Jesse's count. So I'm ready. I'm ready for it. There's no more mess ups for sure.
That's going to be, forget any plate appearance you have. That's where the pressure is on tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Marcus, I want to pass along something we heard from Brian Rowland. I'm sure this is your approach anyway, man. But, you know, you had your moment last night, and I've been in that situation as well. Just you belong, man. You belong. And I'm just putting good vibes your way, dude. I want you just to go out and have fun and just do what you did to get yourself here, man.
Heck yeah, Bob, dude. I appreciate that, man. No, definitely. I'm here to help the team win games, man. So however I could do that, however Skip wants me to do that, I'm here for it. So I told him that. I told him I'm ready. I've been waiting for this moment a long time, and I just want to help the team win, really.
Last thing I got for you. People are asking, where's your at on Twitter? I tried to find you. I couldn't find you. So the people are asking.
Man, I'm not on Twitter, man.
Not on Twitter. Focused.
I need to maybe get one, but I'm definitely not on Twitter. I think Twitter is I don't know. I think it's a toxic place.
Probably good to stay away from the show. Can confirm, Marcus. All right.
Yeah.
He is Mariners outfielder Marcus Wilson, made his debut yesterday. Marcus, we've loved talking to you today. You're really fun to talk to, and goes without saying, we're seeing it on the text line. Bump and I feel the same way. So does Curtis Rogers, our producer behind the glass. I can't think of anyone this city will be rooting harder for in this series. So good luck out there, man.
Heck yeah. Thank you, Stacey. I appreciate it. I appreciate the call, too. Bye.
All right, Marcus. Take care, man.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. Oh, man. He's great.
Oh, yeah.
I could have talked to him forever. I appreciate him self-censoring very quickly when talking about looking at the list. And how relatable was it to be like, yeah, so they have the 1 through 100, and I immediately look at 50 through 100, just assuming automatically, like, well, I'm probably in the bottom here. Let me check this out. And just, I mean, it's a cool journey. Not a lot of people are willing to go through 8 years in the minors to get to that point. But not only that, every single level of the minors, and to constantly put on the work, constantly deal with heartbreak, deal with excitement, deal with feeling a hot streak. Then you cool off. It's a roller coaster. But I loved learning that he knew so many guys on this roster already.
Yeah.
So it's really like coming back to see some friends. You're hanging out with people you know. There's that comfort factor. I've never rooted harder for anyone to get a hit in a game than I am. I hope he gets the start. I really do.
Yeah, me too. Nothing but love, baby. Get her done. Let's
All
go.
All right. Text line, definitely loving that conversation. Everyone here rooting for Marcus. Let's get to Four Down Territory.
This is Four Down Territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, a new question. I had to bump it earlier, no pun intended. Bump, what is the most common storyline we're going to hear from players in the NFL this time of the year?
This is what we're going to hear, Stacey. Oh, this offense looks good. Oh, our defense is awesome. We're competing for a championship. We're going to be better than last year. I'm feeling this new scheme. Like, every team that I look up, this is what you're hearing, but this is what you're supposed to hear because you're 0-0, right? Every team goes into camp thinking they're going to win a championship. But then you get to week 2, then you get to week 6, then you get to week 8, you're like, all right, man, now I just got to be selfish and make sure I'm performing so I don't get fired. So as I look for stories for this four down territory, I'm reading and I'm like, give me some drama. But every team is like, oh, we're going to be so much better. And I'm like, this ain't what I'm looking for, fellas. This ain't what I'm looking for. But that's what you're supposed to hear. You're supposed to go in with a positive mindset and thinking that, you know, you're playing for a Super Bowl, because ultimately that's what you are playing for.
I will tell you what happens every single training camp is the Jazz Ferguson. Who's the big, just incredibly athletic wide receiver or defensive back that's going to capture attention? It's hands camp. Right? There's like not a lot of contact. More so wide receiver than a DB, because they can't make plays on the ball in the same way. But there will be one freaky athletic wide receiver where everyone will be like, that guy's going to get a spot. Yep. And inevitably, he won't, because, you know, for whatever reason, you face guys in real games and it's like, oh, this is tough. But that's where those guys get on practice squads and you do just enough to be like, man, this guy can be a fantastic special teamer. This guy can do something else. And it's just, it's cool to see that talent on display. It's even cooler when, at least as someone from the outside, Bump, I know you've been on the inside, when that guy at least gets rewarded with a chance.
Yeah, and people don't realize it's so hard to be a professional athlete, let alone an elite professional athlete. So, yeah, we like hearing these stories. We like seeing the freakish body and all that stuff. But when it comes down to it, can you make plays when the lights are on?
There are men, young men, who could not make a practice squad that would dominate your rec league. Like, this guy would be out there looking like T.O., looking like Jerry Rice, looking like, you know, Calvin Johnson, looking like the best athlete you've ever seen in your life, and he would be a bubble guy for the practice squad. Like, that is how hard it is to make it in the pros in the NFL. I can't stress it enough. Second down. What's going to be the most difficult part of Shane Waldron's job this year?
Shane Waldron has to be able to create explosive plays. Last year, the Hawks were pretty good when it came to explosive plays. Number four in the pass, number seven with the runs. An explosive play for a run is a play that's 10-plus yards. For a pass, it's 20-plus yards. That's why it's so important that you get DK. I don't care for what he's asking, 26, 27, whatever. You make sure that you have the capabilities to make an explosive play. Now you're going to say, but what about the quarterback situation, right? Quarterback has to throw the football. Sometimes all that quarterback has to do, if you have a good enough receiver on the deep balls, is close your eyes, make a wish, and toss that thing up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what number 14 can do for you. 16 can do it as well. So he has to find a way to create explosive plays. Now, he can also do that with short passes, with the crossing patterns, the shallows, the deep cross, the digs. You can create explosive plays there. But Shane Waldron has to find a way to capture some of the magic that Russell Wilson brought with him just being on the field. Now he has to do it schematically and develop whatever quarterback it is and give him the tools to trust that he can make those throws.
Curtis, by the way, shout out to a texter for texting in when we were talking about best shape of your life. All caps, best shape of my life, varsity!
Oh, man.
I forgot that's the punishment for talking about high school sports, which we did not, but... So that you know, Bump, I should probably let you know, there's a clip, a famous clip from a Philly Eagles fan who starts talking about how he can be part of the team. He's in the best shape of his life. He used to play in high school. If any one of us talk about our high school careers, we are punished. Our high school athletic careers, we are all high school athletes. We are punished by hearing that clip.
Running out of guys out here. We're on reserves. Practice squad guys. I'm ready to roll if they need me. I'm 26 years old.
We're all ready to roll.
I played 2 years. Varsity! I'm in the best shape of my life!
Let's go!
That is the punishment for talking about our athletic careers. I'll let it slide with a former
awesome.
Pro athlete,
that's
but
awesome.
But so that you know. Third down. All right, we all know about the uncertainty around the quarterback spot for the Seahawks, but what does history tell us about the guy who follows up the future Hall of Famer like Russell Wilson?
Unfortunately, guys,
it's
not looking good. History says that whoever follows up Russell Wilson, whether it be Drew Lock, Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, Jimmy G, or even Jacob Eason, let's give him some love too, it's probably not going to work out. He's going to be a transition guy. You look at history, you got Montana to Steve Young. Man, that was great. You got Drew Bledsoe, who was balling at the time, to Tom Brady. You got Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. Other than that, it's hard to find back-to-back Hall of Fame-type quarterbacks, right? So, I'm going to warn you, whoever is under center, do not expect Russell Wilson-type performances. Now, if you do, then, hey, so be it. You struck gold, and we can put them down in this list with Montana to Young and all these other guys that I just mentioned. But reality says, or history says, that, look, he's going to be a transition guy. He
mm-hmm.
might win you some games. He might make you competitive. Might even push you towards the playoffs. But he's not going to be on Russell Wilson's level.
Fourth down. Flipping the script on yesterday's question about a playoff team that's going to regress, which team did not make the playoffs that could have the biggest improvement in 2022?
There are two teams that I look at. I look at the Jacksonville Jaguars and I look at the Jets. The Jets because they had one of the best drafts I've ever seen. Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson,
man.
Breece Hall, Jermaine Johnson. I mean, the future looks bright for them if they can develop these guys. But I got to look at the Jacksonville Jaguars and mainly because they no longer have Urban Meyer running the show.
Thankfully.
Urban Meyer is not there anymore. And as John Clayton, the late, great John Clayton would say.
Urban Meyer.
There it is.
Urban Meyer.
I just want to go. Only I don't want to cheer him.
Big ups, John Clayton. But, yeah, Urban's not there. You got Doug Peterson over there, and he's like the quarterback whisperer, right? He's gotten Curtis Rogers, favorite football player of all time, Nick Foles, to win a championship.
Super Bowl winner.
Super Bowl winner. But they have nowhere to go but up. They were 3-14 last year. They have a tough schedule to play the Chargers, the Eagles, and the Chiefs at their spot. But because of the guys they've added to, they got Christian Kirk, a downfield threat. You got Trayvon Walker, that D tackle from Georgia. Devin Lloyd, who was the best linebacker in the country at Utah. I think they have nowhere to go but up. They're going to win more than three games, I can tell you that.
A couple texts in. We were talking about practice squad players, how hard it is to be able to make the league. And we were talking about how even guys that can barely make a practice squad are dominant athletes. Because that's how good, like, how good Aaron Donald is one of one.
Yeah.
How good the 53rd man on the roster is like one of 53, right? Like, it's like still one of a handful of players. Practice squad guys, absolutely elite. We're getting a couple texts in from people saying, like, yes, can confirm. You get, like, someone on here said, I played flag football versus Brandon Gibson once in high school.
EG.
It was very much like what you're saying, where a guy who was a sixth-round pick kind of bounced around to a couple different teams, obviously didn't have, like, an extensive career as a starter, dominated your league. Like, that's how different it is. Someone else texting in. I was a pretty good football player in high school. Actually went to play D1 hockey after high school. My high school football team's office at coordinator was a former guard for the Saints and the Browns. After school one day, we decided to play flag football. Yeah, absolutely dominated. He ran past me like I was standing in concrete. Made me wonder if it was like, what's this, NFL wide receiver or defensive back?
There's levels
That's
to this,
what I'm
man.
Saying.
There are levels to it. Shoot, I was a four-star coming out of high school, went to college, and I got to the league, and I'm like, oh, he's different. That guy's different. Like, you realize, like,
yes,
you were the best, but these are the best. And even if you play, and I always tell people, even if you play on a bad team, like the worst team in the NFL, all those guys will mop you.
It's not even close. I remember watching a spring game once with a friend, and he played high school football. Right, didn't play D1, D2, D anything, but played high school football. And there was a Seahawks defensive back that like missed what would have been an interception. He said something like, "I would have had that," and I was like, "Just even to my friend, I love you, but no,
nah,
you would not. I promise you, that guy that just missed that quote easy pick would box you in a like you wouldn't be able to breathe properly with that man,
There's
you know,
levels.
Covering you.
There's
like
levels.
It would be game over." All right. Coming up next, we are going to head to the station for Hype Train, then wrap it up with What I Need to Know. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
This hour, Bump and Stacy is brought to you by Mazda of Everett. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have Hype Train here, and then we're going to get What I Need to Know. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you for questions now. Send those in right now. Any question you have, any question at all, 206-421-3776. Right now, though, Curtis, take us to the station. It's Hype Train. I read you a trend, a prediction in the world of sports this week. You tell me whether you believe it, in which case you are boarding the train. You're buying a ticket. If not, you think it's a hype train. You're letting it go on by. You have to tell me why. We're all on the platform here. Bump, you're going to go first, as always. So here we go. Kevin Durant, according to Yahoo Sports, ESPN, a couple other outlets, The Athletic, has requested a trade from Brooklyn. The Phoenix Suns are at the top of his list, though, according to Woj, the Nets will only accept the best offer. If it's not the Suns, too bad, KD. Don't know what to tell you. Here's the hype train, though. Tell me if you're boarding. KD will play for the Phoenix Suns in 2022.
Will he play for the Phoenix Suns in 2022? And you said that the Brooklyn Nets, they need a deal. All right, so who are the Suns willing to give up? You're not going to give up Booker. They're not going to want CP3. No, I'm not. I'm not boarding this train. I'm not boarding it. Because AD wants to win championships. And, folks, if you ever want to win a championship in the National Basketball League, you go ahead and play for the Los Angeles Lakers. Ugh. All right.
The question that just came in for What I Need to Know. Hey, Bump, why do you hate the Blazers?
I don't hate the Blazers. We just beat the Blazers when we play them. You know what I'm saying? I don't hate them. No, I got love for Dame Dollar. I got love for Dame. Weaver State, Oakland. Like, I got love for them. I don't hate the Blazers.
It's because when Bump says we, he doesn't mean formerly the Sonics. He doesn't mean anything. He means the Lakers.
Yeah.
I mean, Lakers. That's why. Yeah. That's why. All right, Curtis, the hype train is that KD will play for the Phoenix Suns in 2022. Are you boarding?
Ah, man, I think Phoenix can actually put together a pretty enticing package. You send DeAndre Ayton, maybe Mikal Bridges.
That's enough? You got to send Book.
Well, I don't know if you're going to – I don't think the Suns are going to part with Devin Booker. I don't think that's ever going to happen, at least so long as their current GM is in place, James Jones. Maybe you attach a couple of first-round picks to that. I think he does play for the Phoenix Suns next year. So I will get aboard.
Okay.
Do I Personally, I think it would be fun to see him in Portland with Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
But I think Phoenix, they're actually pretty close to winning a title. They were in the finals, what, last year?
Yep.
So, I mean, they're a lot closer than Brooklyn has gotten. So, I think Kevin Durant is in the Valley of the Sun in Phoenix, Arizona, this time next year. And then they'll probably request a trade.
Yes, correct. When it doesn't work out and when they fall short. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I'm going to go ahead and say that he will. Curtis says he will because he thinks he will, though he wants him to. He would like to see him play for the Blazers. I'm saying he will for kind of the opposite reason, where I would like to see him play for the Suns. Out of curiosity, I think that I agree. That team is like a piece away. Maybe not even a piece away. Honestly, if they made another run without him, they might be able to get it done. But they're close to being a championship team. I think KD takes them there. And for a team that has had a history of being mismanaged and kind of being dysfunctional, I like that they're able to succeed right now. To me, some people won't agree. To me, a relatively easy team to root for. So, yeah, I'll go KD to the Suns. I don't mind that at all. I feel the same way about the Blazers, though. It's some Sonics fans will always hate the Blazers. I don't know. I like Dame, so. All right, next hype train. Well, speaking of the Northwest and the West Coast in general, the Pac-12, big news today, hearing from John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News that both USC and UCLA have approached the Big Ten about leaving the Pac-12, and that news and that realignment could happen as soon as 2024. Nothing is official yet, but per multiple reports now, ESPN, The Athletic, Bruce Feldman of The Athletic, it's all but official. So, UCLA and USC out. This is the hype train. Oregon and Washington will be the next schools to leave the Pac-12. Bump, are you boarding?
Yeah, I'm boarding that. I'm boarding that train. I am boarding it. It's inevitable. I mean, it's when you think of the Pac-12, what do you think of? UCLA, USC, Oregon, mm-hmm. University of Washington, and some other random team that's going to ball out that year mm-hmm. that you're not really expecting. So, yeah, they have to go. Like, I wouldn't stay. I would go, too, because you're losing the prestige of the conference. It's been down for 10 years, and when you take out the most historic universities that this conference has to offer, you have to jump ship and go where you're going to get the most exposure, because that's the problem with the Pac-12. You don't get exposure. No one wants to watch a game that starts at 7 o'clock West Coast time. It's my heart is hurting right now. The Pac-12 is dying.
Done. The hype train is that Oregon and Washington will be the next schools to leave the Pac-12. Bump is boarding. Curtis, are you?
It just seems inevitable at this point that most schools are going to be jumping ship. And yeah, I think Oregon and Washington are going to be the next two. I'm getting on this train, and I don't think it's going to end at just those two. Mm-hmm. Brett McMurphy, one of the preeminent college football reporters out there, he's with the Action Network right now. He tweets, USC and UCLA move to the Big Ten should be completed by Friday, and the Big Ten may not stop at 16. He also said the Big 12 may get aggressive and look to add Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah. So it's not going to end with just UCLA and USC. If Oregon and Washington jump ship, I think we're going to see the end of the Pac-12 in our sporting lifetimes here,
yep.
Which...
depressing.
Yeah, it was very avoidable. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks so much, Larry.
Washington State, hang in there, guys.
Yeah.
Come
it's
on, baby.
They're going to be home alone.
Why in that flag?
That scene of Will Smith in Fresh Prince walking into an empty mansion looking
that's
around.
It.
That's going to be Wazoo. Hey, like,
that's
hey,
it.
Wow.
Where did everybody go?
Everyone's gone. Next,
independent, baby. Let's go.
Next train into the station. Going Mariners for these next two. We'll start with this one. Let's look to a little bit of optimism here. They need it, and they're going to get it done. The hype train is that the Mariners will sweep the A's.
They got four games?
Four games.
Not boring it. Because there's going to be suspensions, right? They're going to stagger them.
Yes,
we're going
they're
to
be
lose
staggered.
Some guys,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the A's are coming in with confidence. Like, yeah, man, we can play with y'all. We've done this before, even though they got swept the last time, right? Did we sweep them last time at their house? Believe so.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did. But, nah, it's so hard to sweep, especially you got four games. If it was a three-game series, then maybe I'd get on the scene. But because it's four and because these suspensions are, we're going to start feeling the effects of those, I am not going to board the train.
Curtis, the hype train is that the Mariners will sweep the A's. They certainly need it. Bump not boarding, though. He says, hey, the A's have had your number once in a while. What do you think?
I think they sweep them. Four in a row. Capped off.
I hope so.
With me doing post-game on Sunday.
There you
go. I want to talk about a sweep. That's why That's why I'm
selfish.
Yeah, it's giving. It's exactly. giving sweep. That's how I'm feeling, Curtis. Mm-hmm. Is it? I can taste it in the air. It's giving sweep right now. Chris in the 206, brooms, baby. I think if they continue to get fantastic pitching, which fingers crossed they do, and not only that, but if they continue to get some timely contributions from guys that in places where you least expect it. Shout out to Sam Haggerty, 3 hits the other day. Am I expecting 3 hits tonight from Sam Haggerty? Yeah. No, I'm not. But they've had some good contributions from people, and I think that this is a team. There are a few teams I'd say this about. This is a team you can sweep. They have been beaten down emotionally by the state of that franchise, the organization, the city. It's all
emotional
bad.
Emotional damage.
Man, you got to take advantage of it, even if you're not in their home. It's almost like they have home field advantage being out of OCO. It's very weird. Next hype train. All right. Last one. We'll be very, very quick, and Bump, we'll just end with your answer here. Julio had the last home run for the Mariners, and he'll have the next home run for the Mariners.
Nope. Cal Raleigh, sticking to it. Let's do it.
I mean,
Cal Raleigh.
I don't think you're wrong, but that's okay.
I'd like to see it, though.
You know what? I'm going to take my hype train again. Same bet.
I'm not betting. No. I'm not taking that bet.
Burn now. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. Get your questions in for What I Need to Know. Wrapping up the show with your questions and our answers. 206-421-3776. That's next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, what's on tap? Powered by Madden Industrial Craftsman. The Mariners open a four-game series against the A's at 7:10 p.m. tonight. Pre-game show starts at 6 p.m. right here on Seattle Sports Station. It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Get your question, any question in right now. Text it to 206-421-3776. Here we go. Hey, Bump, why do you hate the Blazers? Connecting it with another texter. Why so quick to say Portland wouldn't win a chip, Bump? If KD's traded there, others could follow. Like, what if they got KD and then landed Bradley Beal, too? That seems like a championship team to me.
One, I do not hate the Blazers. I love me some Dame Dalla. Two, KD's going to go where he can win right now. He's going to go where he feels like, look, I am the missing piece. He's not going to go somewhere and say, okay, well, if I go and he goes and he goes and he goes, then we're going to be a good basketball team. Nah, KD's at the point of his career where he wants to win right now. He's going to go to a place where he makes them an automatic contender.
Curtis, do you agree with the idea that they'll just never win a chip?
Well, they did win one in 77,
well,
but that was
in our lifetimes, I should say.
Yeah, that was, what, 45 years ago, something like that?
Is that Bill Walton's on that team?
It was, yeah. That was Wild Bill Walton there. It does seem like the Blazers are cursed because you've seen a lot of guys come through that organization that have been incredible elsewhere or have had plenty of hype elsewhere, and then they get hurt. Mm-hmm. It's not like their production dips off. It's that they get hurt.
Just unlucky.
Yeah. Brandon Roy, Greg Oden. Mm.
I hate this.
You know, all these guys.
I hate it.
And then they also passed on Michael Jordan to take Sam Bowie. Like, you passed on the greatest player of all time to take a journeyman center at number two overall. And you passed on one of the greatest scorers ever in Kevin Durant to take Greg Oden. I mean, they are a cursed franchise. I don't know what happened to have them get cursed, but that's just what it seems like down there in Rip City.
I've gotten convinced of the same with the Mariners sometimes. Like, it just seems so surreal, almost impressive to miss the playoffs for that long that I just think sometimes, like, what if curses are real? Brent Stecker, editor for SeattleSports.com, would tell you that is the case. What I need to know from Fred in Birch Bay, who wins at putt-putt out of the three of you? I think we all know the answer. Me. Next question.
Really? Why do you say that?
Because I told you, I'm really, 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 really good at putting.
Well, she does.
Yeah, I can't. Look, I play with one iron. 7 iron. That's it. Secondly, I'm not very good at anything else with the exception of putting that I am exceptional at. And putt-putt golf, I absolutely kill. I went to Flatstick Pub with several friends, of which I have many.
Oh, yeah.
With several friends, and I was the best out of everyone. I think I would crush it. It's not even close.
You know who owns Flatstick? A Coug.
Me?
I'm just going to throw that out there. A Coug owns it. Right. Hey, we need to make a little trip. Us three and go at it.
All right.
Great.
Let's go.
Fantastic.
At it. You
yeah.
bring Brian. I'll bring my wife Jennifer.
I'll bring
Wait,
Brianna.
What day did you? What I gotta check with? I gotta check Brian's schedule.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, he's got some space stuff. So he's
space
it's like,
stuff.
Yeah, he's got. So it's like really. It just takes a long time to get from Mars to here.
Mars.
So depending on when we do
that's
this.
That's bigger. That should be huge news that there's somebody on Mars.
Yeah, no, it's kind of.
Why are we not talking about
this? I actually,
this?
You know, it's kind of a secret. I don't want to mention it.
It's a secret Mars trip.
Yeah, it's a secret Mars trip. So if anyone listening right now, just don't say anything about
it's classified
it.
Classified information.
But yeah, my real human boyfriend is there. So he's not going to be able to make the trip. But,
okay, all right.
But he's. You'll meet him one day. You will meet him one day. Next question. Where's your favorite seat at T-Mobile?
Where we were yesterday
in a suite on a padded
that
chair
was awesome.
Drinks
and food and bathroom right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The answer, the least amount of actually, I take it back. I went to the Diamond Club one time.
Oh yeah, Diamond Club is fire.
One time.
Yeah.
And it was, I was like, I can't believe people watch a game like this.
Did you like to snap your fingers for drinks?
Can you imagine
here,
anyone?
Jeeves.
So someone
Fetch
told me,
me
yeah. listen, someone told me that they went on a date with a girl who snapped her fingers at the waiter.
Oh, no.
Can you believe that anyone actually did that
it's
in real life?
That is.
I swear to God.
How you treat service people.
Yes.
Waiters and waitresses tells me more about who you are as a person than anything.
Yes.
Snap your
1,000%. If you are rude to waiters, waitresses, cashiers, janitors, anybody like that, you are the lowest of the low.
Yes.
I feel you. I second that.
I think, too. So, having been a waitress, many of us, first of all, have worked in if you are listening, if you are a person, most people, I think, have worked in some kind of customer service, waitressing, waiter, hosting job, whatever. It's like the kind of like just a job everyone has had or has, right?
Yep.
I don't know, in my mind. When I was a waitress, I feel like I learned that, like, even if I was a teenager at the time, even grown adults will be really horrible to you because of the power imbalance. And there's some kind of weird feeling that some people, a type of person gets with a customer service job where they're like, I'm in this position of power and I'm going to seize it. Like, it's wild to me, but it's,
I can't rock with you if you're,
no, I
if
can't.
You're rude.
That's
I can't
done.
Do
That's game over. What I need to know, Bump, who was the most fun guy in the locker room when you were playing either at Wazoo or in the pros?
In the pros, it was Lofa Tatupu. That dude has a huge personality, man. He would make everybody laugh. He's talking, you know what? He's in the middle of everything. Lofa Tatupu.
I was going to say, Curtis, what about you? Because I'm so used to it.
Oh, yeah. You know, in my playing days.
Oh, no.
There's just so many guys I can think of. I can't narrow it down to one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Headline rewrite.
Great times.
Nobody knows about Stacey's boyfriend because he's out of this world.
Oh. Wow. Wordplay. Yeah.
Brian,
bars.
Babe.
Bars.
need to know. Bars. Is there enough talent on the Seahawks roster that they should go for Jimmy G or Baker Mayfield? Or are there a lot of holes that could make them a top 10 pick in the 2023 draft?
Go after Jimmy. You got a chance. I think you got a chance. Go after Jimmy. You need a quarterback. You got running backs. You got receivers. You got a new offensive line. You got a new defense. Go after Jimmy. Let's go.
I'm going to actually move this question to tomorrow. Let's talk about it a bit tomorrow. The idea of, if you get Jimmy, what kind of team are you looking at? Genuinely, are you looking at a playoff?
Yep.
Okay, I like it. All right, very excited. Tomorrow's the last show of the week. Week two bump, by the way. Man, this one was fun. Last week was an interesting one, coming off a not-so-great, very bad, no-good homestand. This time coming off a fight, and also a series win, and another series win. Mariners picking up
steam. And then
there's
conference realignment.
I like that. I don't like
we're
that.
We're 2-0.
I like that.
Week two, we're 2-0, baby.
We're 2-0. One game, one day at a time. Here we go. All right. Again, as a reminder, Mariners starting that series against the A's tonight. First pitch is at 7:10. Pregame show starts at 6. Don't go anywhere, though. Wyman and Bob coming your way next.